Today's Bangor Daily News and our main calling program this afternoon will be focusing on sober houses. Haven't heard that term before? The Bangor Daily News reporter Jake Blackburg is here now to describe them. Jake, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So, what is a sober house?
So a sober home is a place, or a recovery residence, as they're often also called, is a place that people in recovery, people who are battling some sort of addiction, whether it be alcohol or opioid use, choose to live together with other people in recovery and try to mutually support each other. And from there, what these different homes offer varies enormously. Some of them are really just beds and places people sort of choose to live together in this intentional community. And others have really elaborate programs to support people through recovery. Some of them are associated with rehabs or detoxes. And what you see in these homes really varies very widely.
Now, I know when I looked at your story, I was very surprised at the extent of the development of sober houses in the state. How many are there?
So that's a really good question, and it's kind of a difficult one to answer because no one is officially keeping track of these homes. The way we went about trying to answer it is starting with the work of a physician here in Maine who's really devoted to making sure these homes all stock naloxone, the drug to avoid overdoses. So he keeps a list of them for his own purposes to try to make sure they all have that. And we reached out to the more than 90 homes on his list and then some others in addition to that, so just a bit under 100 homes, and we're able from that to confirm 76 operating in Maine, the vast majority of the ones we were able to confirm, and it seems the vast majority of homes are in sort of the greater Portland area.
Are there some, though, elsewhere, and if so, where?
There are some elsewhere. You see one up in the county. We just had what is believed to be the first one in Maine's second largest city, Lewiston, have its grand opening just this week. But they appear to be mostly concentrated around Portland. And part of the reason for that, we believe, and people who work in this world believe, is that a lot of towns and cities across Maine have zoning codes into which sober living doesn't fit neatly.
Who actually creates these? Who owns these places?
So what we saw in our reporting is that they're mostly owned and operated by people who are themselves in recovery, who have sort of brought themselves back from a difficult point in their lives and want to provide a path that others can do the same thing. That seems to be the overwhelming majority of who's operating these homes. And a lot of them are having great success. You know, it's sort of, I guess, a support system of people fighting addiction where they weren't otherwise finding a lot of support in, you know, for what happens when you leave a detox facility. I think these homes end up being the only thing between relapse or homelessness for a lot of people.
Lacking formal regulation, what are the conditions like in these homes?
I visited a bunch of homes in the course of this reporting, and I guess I should say that they were all homes that wanted to welcome me in and were open to reporting. So it's, I can't speak to all the homes across Maine, and in fact, no one can because there's no one who, you know, sort of is empowered to inspect or to look into all of the homes. What we saw in the homes we visited, again, varied. You know, they're sort of, say, $500 a month entry level, what they call low cost, low barrier homes for people who maybe don't have a lot of financial means. And often what you'll see in those is shared bedrooms, and you'll often see shared bedrooms in higher cost homes as well. That's kind of an accountability mechanism. But the homes, you know, can vary from sort of the average old house you might see around Portland where people share space to cover what's expensive rent. And you see that with people who are not in recovery. You see it with people who are as well. And then sort of, it ranges all the way up to the other end where you have homes that cost thousands of dollars a month and are in really beautiful sometimes lavish facilities. So again, it's it really runs the gamut, as do the support and structures for people trying to maintain their sobriety.
Now, you mentioned, of course, the lack of formal regulation, but this has apparently showed up on the radar screens of the legislature. What has happened? Have they taken any steps towards regulating?
Mm-hmm. This is something that is not just going on in Maine, but is going on around the country. And what our reporting suggests is it's the sober home and recovery residence industry has really surged along with the death toll from the opioid crisis. So in other states, we've seen significant abuses in these homes, and we've seen lawmakers there kind of act responsively. Something goes wrong, and then they take a step to try to address it.
What kinds of things have gone wrong?
There are a whole sort of category of what look like scams and abuses particular to these homes. In the state of Florida, there is a category of scam that they've come to call patient brokering, which is essentially trading residents between recovery facilities that are sort of medical facilities and sober homes and sort of offering kickbacks. In others, we've seen sort of, I think, more straight abuses by homeowners, as you might expect in a unregulated world where people are very vulnerable and kind of desperate to, you know, find a way to maintain their sobriety. In Massachusetts in May, a sober home owner there was arrested and charged with allegedly trading drugs and legal services to the residents of this home that was supposed to help be helping people stay sober in return for sex. But here in Maine, we haven't seen evidence of those types of abuses cropping up, at least not yet. I guess what a lot of people see is that there's an opportunity here to get out in front of an issue and address it preemptively. So Senator Shana Bellows brought forward a bill during this past legislative session that would have introduced some voluntary regulatory mechanisms. The homes can volunteer to be certified through a group that operates here in Maine and sort of tries to do some voluntary watchdog work in this world, and then would have given the homes some incentive to do so. There was a proposal to offer some affordable housing dollars to programs that were certified, and for the most part, these are poor people in bad need of housing. That's not exclusively the case. That was brought forward here in Maine, and it received some support in both the House and Senate, but was ultimately left unfunded and effectively dead, along with a bevy of other bills in this special legislative session.
What does the medical community and the addiction treatment community think of these?
The people we spoke to in that world believe that these homes have become a really essential part of the process of recovery in Maine. I think it's a step that people in the addiction treatment world realized is a little neglected. What happens if you got sober in a detox? What happens when you leave? If you got sober in a jail cell, what happens when you leave? And often the answer to that historically has been there really isn't a lot of support for you at that point, especially if you're not a person of means. These homes have become a really important phase in people's road to recovery, but the medical treatment community also sees the need for some standardization and some ability for people who are looking at these homes to have clear signposts about what they're going to get, what their rent check that a lot of them are paying out of pocket buys them, and right now there's not a lot there.
You mentioned earlier on that there have been some success stories as a result of this. Can you talk about a couple of them?
I spoke to maybe 10 to a dozen different people who have gone through these homes in the course of my reporting who had great success stories. And I spoke to them at length. And one of the patterns that seemed to emerge is that a lot of people might come from elsewhere in the Northeast to sober homes in the Portland area. And this area has really become something of a mecca for recovery. So people come here and they find support that they didn't have previously. And what one of the things we've seen a lot of is people come here to enter sober living and they have success with that and in fact then go on to found sober living homes of their own. So I think that's sort of where this success story and this story of people in recovery helping each other, where they're maybe not finding a lot of help from elsewhere, comes in. There are also, of course, and every sober home operator I spoke to acknowledges this, many stories that aren't successful. Many people in homes, whether they be modest or lavish, ultimately relapse. And one of the difficult things in assessing a world that, you know, the medical community acknowledges as valuable is assessing what works there. It's just a challenging question, and it's one we didn't feel like we could answer through just our reporting, but it does seem that sort of the qualified professionals in that field might have some guidance.
Yeah, sure, developing best practices and such. Does this seem to be a trend that we'll see increasing numbers of sober homes?
The information we were able to gather, while limited, certainly does suggest an upward trajectory. Now, if you talk to people who have sort of long worked or lived in the recovery community in the Portland area, what they'll tell you is a decade ago, there were 3 or 4 homes here. Now there are 10 times that amount. What it's natural to expect and what people who work in this world do expect is that as the opioid crisis persists, this is going to grow, you know, until the demand there is met.
Jake, thanks very much for the time. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, Erwin.